Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm delighted to have with me today on Research Matters, Massimo De Maio. A few words about my guest. Massimo De Maio started playing musical instruments at about the age of 11. He recounts that he made himself a drum set with some heavy cardboard boxes and tried to play what drummers were doing on his brother's records. Cardboard boxes doesn't sound too noisy, so I presume he didn't annoy the neighbours too much about that. And then one day, his brother came home with Max Roach's Drums Unlimited, and that really turned out to be a bit of a life-changing experience, and perhaps he'll tell us about that. His professional career started in the mid-70s in Rome as a drummer and percussionist for several artists within circuit of the legendary club, the Folk Studio. And of course, he played with many well-known names at that time. He was a member of several jazz groups, and he's performed with some of the main figures on the Italian jazz scene of those years as well. He then moved away from Italy and based his activities in Denmark and also the USA between 1980 and 1999, and he played also with some major figures in the jazz scene in Scandinavia, which sounds really fascinating. In 1999, he returned to Italy and started concentrating more on composing and working with sound installations, improvisation, performance, art, etc. And now he works a lot with his wife, Bianca Maria Stanzani-Ghedini, a wonderful multifaceted artist whom I actually had the pleasure of working with a bit in this year's evenings on campus when we did a great show, Massimo and Bianca Maria, and some very interesting invited instrumentalists. She combines visual and performing arts in a very inspiring way. And together they create performances, art installations, and lots more. At present, Maestro De Maio is contributing with several courses to the music studies courses within the Mediterranean Institute, and we shall be talking further about those. And he describes himself on his website as a creative entrepreneur, which is an aspect of cultural life that I'm very keen on exploring. Personally, I'm into museums and archaeology, but clearly every side of cultural life lends itself to entrepreneurship at every level.
Yes.
So welcome, Maestro De Maio.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me here. And yes, wow, a lot of things.
This music studies course, the music studies division of the Mediterranean Institute, has been up and running, of course, for many years and has had some very well-known lecturers, including our Charles Camilleri,
of course,
and others. And it's growing. The music studies courses are growing and changing and developing, it looks to me.
Yes, I think it's fantastic. In fact, in this sense, I feel really fortunate and honored to be at the university in this moment of time. Last year, I was invited by Father Peter Saracini-Gloth and Dr. Mercia to start teaching jazz music and percussion. And this was quite, actually, last year I think was really breaking time, because also several other courses in computer music, music technology and so on has been started. So definitely there is an opening of the music study department, which is extremely interesting. It's becoming more and more, already was a vibrant department, an exciting department, and full of creativity, and also producing really very talented artists, I can see. And now, so it's opening to the new faces of composition and music and so on. This is definitely a very exciting moment. Yes.
And you're going to be involved in particular courses this semester?
Yes. This year I have several other courses beside the jazz music theory and the applied percussion, the percussion I had last year. In fact, this year we decided to enlarge the jazz area, so dividing, we can say, jazz history, history of jazz music, and the theory. So in this sense, we will have more time to really analyze historically also the progress and the development of this form art form, and theoretically also in the other way. This also gives the possibility to students of other faculties or also students which are not so interested in playing jazz, of course, but also they are interested in the phenomenon, the artistic and cultural phenomenon, which is jazz music. So this is one of the courses. Another course, which is quite specialized course and is full year course for the third year, is performance skills and perspectives. It's a course which I tailor made for the students of the honors for music and the third year students, because it's really, we will work a lot on the very many different aspects of being a musician, being an artist, being a performing artist, or also a composer. In this sense, we are self-employed, you know, just like an architect or a lawyer or whoever else. We have to take care of our clients, we have to take care of what we produce and how we present it on stage and off stage, and also there are, it is a very demanding career on many aspects, economical, psychological, spiritual in many cases. I mean, so it's really something that takes, and I think it's very important, because one of the experience I've had throughout my life, being in contact, having been so fortunate to be in contact with really great artists, is really to have gained so much insight of the many different aspects of being an artist. And in this sense, how can we cope? It's something that generally you don't, in a way, you don't have courses. I mean, you can have courses about, you know, music management and how you can get gigs or concerts around. But I kind of made it a very open course, really touching on so many things.
People tend to think about that aspect, the after development of your career, as learned through the university of life, as the expression goes. But probably a course like yours, or an approach like yours, helps them before they actually leave the university to do it properly.
Definitely, I hope so. That's definitely my main goal with this course, is the fact at least to have some things, some ideas. I've heard some tips of the trade, tricks of the trade, or experiences that in due time will come up, it will surface again and say, oh, I see now what that crazy Italian was talking about. And in this sense is because, yes, you do learn, and there are things, there are processes in one's life and logically one's career, which will take very long time. But it's good to have an idea, especially, in fact, in the title I put performance skills and perspectives. The fact of having a perspective, long-term goals, how do you deal with this? Also because it's very easy to have ups and downs in one's work and one's engagements and whatever. And so it's very easy to lose a perspective. And so in this sense, it's very important to have it from the start. Maybe moving around and changing the directions, but it's important to have an idea, why am I doing this?
I suppose, yes, the musicians normally, or in the past, would have concentrated on, I know, playing their instruments to the ultimate, to the tops, but then wouldn't have actually been concerned with the kind of skills that one would need in a real life situation. And this is a situation we have even in all the arts, of course, and not just in music, but perhaps in music it's particularly important for them to have that vision, as you say.
Well, yes, I think that because the times have changed. logically, also Chopin, Liszt, and Beethoven, they were, you know, interested to think about how they would go around with their work and what they would do. But the situation was very different. It was different at the time of the beginning of the 1900s. I was just reading Stravinsky's autobiography. I was rereading it, really, for the course, actually. And really, so, you know, there are situations in which they were invited or they were welcome in a different way. Today we have an instrument like internet, and to be a virtuoso is almost not enough, in the sense that there are so many people out there that can be heard, and so you really have to produce something which is fantastic artistically, also exciting. You must be able to present it. You cannot be the little artist in the cave, because you stay in the cave and finish there.
Exactly. And also knowing how to network with other musicians as well.
Absolutely. I mean, in a way, this course could really be for anybody, but logically we will speak very much about music. We will have concrete, we will touch very important all the physical aspects, tension, stressing, how stress gets into your playing, in your ability on your instrument. So we will analyze all these parts. And so it is a musical, but it's really, you know, about all different. In fact, it's funny because when I start putting up the bibliography for the course, I found myself placing books from novelists, from musicians, from marketing superstar, and in this sense, really having to graft, really going grafting from different places, you know, scratching off here and there.
It's nice also to know that the music studies courses are looking out to those in the university who are not, strictly speaking, music students, but who might very well be interested in, as you say, the history of jazz, which I'm not a musician at all, but I would be absolutely fascinated
to
do
see
that course.
Come and
yes,
listen.
I really wish I had the time. Because I think that also strengthens the university as a whole, because you're getting people interested from other faculties. I mean, you might have a mathematician, very often the mathematicians and the medics are very music-oriented. So.
Yes, I have a young man from law.
Oh, that's great.
From Eula, yes.
Very good. And that enriches the university as a whole, I think, really.
Of course, yes. And it is important, because logically the arts are such an important aspect of mankind. I mean, we are humans, and we do sing, or we do jump around, maybe while we're getting dressed in the bedroom in the morning, if we feel good, to some good music. And
sing in the shower.
Sing in the shower, the famous singing in the shower. And so in this sense, yes, I mean, cross-pollination is most important, I think, in any way. I mean, we are communicative beings, and so we have to use this. In fact, one of the things now, also, we will also have the new dance department at the university.
I've always said this, and I've said it on this program several times, that we have a wonderful university, which I absolutely adore, but it has been a little bit in the past theory based. We haven't had a performing arts area, except perhaps a little bit in education, because in education they've always been keen. Obviously, they have to produce art teachers and music teachers, and so they've done it there. And within the music studies, to a limited degree in the past, but to have a performing arts as part, integral part of the academic side of university is obviously an enriching experience as well for the whole university. And the idea of having this dance opportunity as well, I mean, we're going to have this new department, and it's great news.
It's going to be fantastic. And in fact, because before you were saying, I generally consider myself a creative entrepreneur, is the fact that life brought me to work with many different people in different kind of situations. And I also had a lot of activities within the composing and working with music with choreographers in the world of dance, or contemporary dance. And so in this sense, logically, knowing that the composing for dance, the dance department was coming up, so I decided immediately to propose a musical composition for choreography course within the music department. So the musicians who are interested in composing, or anyway, musicians who are interested to work close with choreography, with dancers. They have a background, they have some ideas, and it's very good because with John Butterworth, who's the logically the director of the dance department, we immediately, you know, agreed, and we immediately thought about some having some collaboration. So the students taking this composition for dance in the first semester, we will work also with the dance department, and most probably we will have an end of the year performance with the music students and the dance students, creating some new works and stuff. It's going to be very exciting.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait for that. So the methodologies that you use when you do your courses, I mean, do you take your drums in with you? I mean, how do you go about actually putting across your ideas to the students in front of you?
Well, I try to create, I think it's very important working together with the students, because I really think that I work with them. I get so much from them. I hope they get some from me. And I think it's really being together. So in this sense, definitely, I think it's very important to create a good balance between serious, intense information passing, and also having an aspect which is light. I mean, we are here and we are having fun doing this together. We are fortunate enough, we are studying, we are working with material we love. So this is incredible already in itself. I do use different kind of things, of tools, we can say, in the sense, okay, first of all, maybe I'm old-fashioned in the sense, going back to over 200 years ago, where music instruction was much and also an oral transmission more than a written translation. I think it's very, very important for us to be able to really enjoy and sing what we can play with our student, with our instruments. I mean, an approach which is very, very intensively musical. And also at the same time, in this sense, really bring them away from the score, not because you're not supposed to read, but because really start interpreting as much as possible from the start, and really having a musicality springing from one's soul, we can say, more than just reading things. More than this technical approach, there is the fact, logically, also using new technologies. We have incredible archives today with YouTube and everything, and videos, DVDs, and so, which were unthinkable when I was 20 years old. And so definitely it's fantastic, because so we have the opportunity to see things in a way that, and so understand them in a way that was very, very difficult before.
How do you find the reaction of our students? Because we have, the schools here have a little bit of a reputation for not being, how am I going to put this without offending anybody, that they're not so participative. They're not used to that kind of participation within the class. So how do you find they react to your way of doing things?
Well, I think they, in depends, logically, I mean, it's difficult always to generalize. Considering my experience from last year and also the very first classes I've had during this week, students are very happy about you know, being put in a situation in which they also have to contribute. In the beginning, of course, they're kind of scared. And there is always this big haunting principle of, are you doing or saying the right thing? Is it right or wrong? Which in art doesn't really work. You do not have a right or wrong, so you must, you know, and if you think something is fine, let's talk about it, you know. And so logically, when coming from a background in which there is the right way of doing things and the wrong way of doing things, it can be a little destabilizing, you know, so you feel kind of weird, but then they really enjoy it. And also in this sense, I mean, the fact of really creating an informal formality in the lectures, you know, so that we are here, we are enjoying doing something, and I know a bit more than you, so let's see what we can do with it.
And jazz, by definition, is something that, I don't know much about it, but where it can be diverse, and, you know, it's not something with definite rules that's, you know, we've got, I mean, you've got different types of jazz, sure, but it's not rigid, really, is it?
Well, it's definitely, this is always, it's beautiful, because this is always something that comes up with jazz. Jazz is, in many ways, a horribly hard discipline. At the same time, you can say that there is controlled freedom. It's conversing. It's learning how to listen to each other and talk with each other. It's like if now all of a sudden I would start talking about a good spaghetti recipe, you would think we're crazy because we're talking about activities on campus. And it's exactly the same thing. If you are playing, you're playing within a form, you're playing within a piece of music, a tune. There are concrete chord changes, cadences you have to respect, you have to work, you have a style you have to respect, of course. But within these limitations, you have the most incredible freedom of expression. So in this sense, it's really, in many ways, it's really an art form which absolutely reflects life, because it is you as an individual in a group. You must be selfless. You have to support the others in your group, and at the same time, the others also have to be able to listen to you. And so it's really, in many ways, maybe it's one of the most democratic art forms.
And part of what you do is teaching the composing idea, which I find absolutely fascinating, because it's something that I really could never do. I mean, I think it's almost a miraculous moment, the idea of composing. Or do I have a very romantic idea of it?
Well, but you do that every day, many, many times a day, because you, in this moment, you are improvising. In the sense, you are creating out of a theme. You are creating this conversation, lovely conversation we are having. And this is improvising. I mean, you are composing. You have planned something about today's work, and you're putting it out in your thing. Music is a language. It's just like Maltese or Swedish or whatever. So it's just how you use. If you speak a language well enough, you can jump around different arguments or different things to talk about. And if you don't know it very well, you make grammatical mistakes and you just say very few simple sentences. So it's a bit of the same. And creativity, we all have creativity. I think a mother or a so-called housewife has needs so much creativity in their daily life that definitely they would be fantastic jazz players, I'm sure.
Talking about languages, we mentioned in your bio that you're involved in Denmark and therefore in Scandinavian music.
Yes.
When you moved out of Italy, the Italian milieu, how did you find that change, or is just music the cliché of the universal language?
Well, it was shocking. Just like always, you know, changing from one culture to a very different one is shocking. So logically, in the beginning, it was very, very difficult, very strange. I mean, the way of the rules, we can say, of being together are different. So it's just, I mean, using a musical example, it's like if you are prepared to play Chopin, you go and somebody's playing the Beatles. So you say, okay, let's find out how I can put these things together. And but then, I mean, for example, Scandinavians, they are, for the culture, for the weather, for everything, they are very quiet persons. The culture is, you have, having a conversation with somebody, having a dinner with somebody, you might experience very long, not just seconds, but even minutes of silence, which, coming from a Mediterranean culture, is absolutely absurd. It's like, oh my God, what did I say? When everybody's angry with me, nobody wants to speak. While actually it's really the idea of enjoying this moment, not necessarily talking. And this also reflects in many things, in the way they work with art, the way their society is built, the way their respect for the individual or for the group is built. So in the senses, it's a very sensitive society and culture. Maybe also so sensitive that it's very introverted and sometimes afraid of their own expression, means of expression. So this was very interesting for me, because, for example, just in that, I really learned so much of shut up and listen, more than blah, 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 as I'm doing now.
Yes, I think that combination of Italian and Scandinavian would reach sort of perfection somewhere in the medium. And obviously you're going to be involved in these courses this semester and probably the next, and you're going to be very busy, but I presume that you will be also doing your own thing outside of the university lecture room.
Yes, definitely.
Anything planned with Bianca Maria, perhaps?
Yes, with Bianca Maria we still have, I mean, the project we presented as a premiere at the Evenings on Campus, Reading Mediterranean, has been a wonderful experience for us. I don't know for the audience, but I mean, we had
extremely enjoyable.
Thank you. We had a great fun working with this material, and it's been wonderful to work with the Maltese poets and also learning that kind of creativity, that kind of expression, and mixing with musicians of different nations and so on. So we plan on working with Reading Mediterranean still, try to bring it out, even bring it abroad in somehow. So now we are trying to touch wood and
<That's> to exciting.
Make some things which are quite interesting to bring Maltese poets around. And we have other plans also for the next year. So there are things boiling, cooking in the kitchen.
I look forward to hearing more about that. That's absolutely great. And University of Malta benefits enormously from having people like yourself who've come from abroad and have had the kind of sort of wide experience that you have had. And I'm sure that your students are very appreciative of that. And we look forward to another Evenings on Campus experience or something even in between, perhaps, something that links up poetry and music and dance and things like that.
Oh, that was
interesting. So it's absolutely wonderful.
Definitely.
Well, we've come to the end of our time,
unfortunately.
Right. You wouldn't believe that it's passed so quickly. And I'd like to thank Massimo De Maio for coming to talk to us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.